Madrik, like me. Prapana, surrendered. Pashu, an animal. Pasha, from entanglement. Vimokshanaya, unto he who releases. Muktaya, unto the Supreme, who is untouched by the contamination of material nature. Muri Kurunaya, who are unlimitedly merciful. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Alayaya, who are never inattentive or idle, for the purpose of my deliverance. Swaamshena, by your partial feature is Paramatma. Sarva, of all. Tanu Brit, the living entity, the living entities embodied in material nature. Manasi, in the mind. Pratita, who are acknowledged. Pratyakdrishe, as the direct observer of all activities. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brihate, who are unlimited. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. So translation, since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly, that means continually, try to deliver me. By your partial feature of Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The words Brihate Namaste have been explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Brihate Shri Krishnaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. There are many tattvas, such as Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. But above everything is the Vishnu Tattva, which is all-pervading. This all-pervading feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, text 42, wherein the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kim gatena tavarjuna vistabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shenastito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Thus, Krishna says that the entire material world is maintained by his partial representation as Paramatma. The Lord enters every universe as Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and then expands himself as Shuradakshai Vishnu to enter the hearts of all living entities and even enter the atoms. Anantarasta paramanu chayanturastam. Every universe is full of atoms, and the Lord is not only within the universe, but also within the atoms. Thus, within every atom, the Supreme Lord exists in his Vishnu feature as Paramatma. But all the Vishnu tattvas emanate from Lord Krishna, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, text 2, Aham Arihi Deva Nam. Krishna is the Adi or beginning of the Devas of this material world, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. Therefore, he is described here as Bhagavate Brihate. Everyone is Bhagavan, everyone possessing opulence, but Krishna is Brihan Bhagavan, the possessor of unlimited opulence. Ishvara Parama Krishnaha. Krishna is the origin of everyone, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Even Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara come from Krishna. Matat Parataram Nanyat Kitchid Asti Dhananjaya. There's no personality superior to Krishna. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bhagavate Brihate means unto Sri Krishna. In this material world, everyone is a Pashu, an animal, because of the bodily conception of life. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridaduke trudhi kalatra dishu boma hichidi yatirta buddhi shalelena karichit janeshvabhikeshu sahiva gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like a cow or an ass. That's from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 84th chapter, text 13. Practically everyone, therefore, is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati. He is within our hearts and it is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Buri Kuranaya Namo Lagaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated, but although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Buri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. Nice verse in purport. So, Madrik Prapana Pashupasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Buri Kodanaya Namogulayaya Shamsena Sarvatanubrin Manasi Patita Pratyadrushe Bhagavate Vriyate Namaste. So, Om Ganat Timananda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Miditam Mena Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, several interesting points in this verse and purport. Of course, first, for those of you who haven't been following class, this is in the context or the story of Gajendra the elephant praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has been put into distress as he was bathing in the water, trying to enjoy with his family members, the other elephants. He was put into distress by a crocodile who grabbed his leg. So this is a very instructive story for us. Of course, Gajendra, the elephant, was previously King Indrajunya, who offended a sage. And therefore, Gajendra, the elephant, remembered his past life and all the prayers, and now he's offering these prayers. So sometimes it takes a situation like that to make us surrender, right? Actually, sometimes devotees even pray for situations like that to help them surrender. Queen Kunti, of course, prays like that. Janmaishwarya Shudasya Shibir Edamanda Adapuman. She said, let me become detached from all these different things in this world, like good birth, opulence, family like this, or beauty, or whatever, Shibir. Let me become detached from all these things, and then Chwama Kinchana Gotra. In other words, just be free of any other shelter in this world other than Krishna. And in order to do that, she says, please cause the miseries, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru, to come again and again. So the question was raised yesterday, last night, about the miseries of the cyclone. So the miseries of the cyclone, as are all other miseries, of course the cyclone is far more prominent in our minds, but really misery is experienced on an individual basis. Like you go in the hospital, the whole place is a miserable place. People experience miseries. Generally in the modern world we try to hide the miseries from people, so you don't see too many sick people walking around the street or anything like that. But with a cyclone, of course, you see a lot of miserable people. So these miseries are there as a teaching to the conditioned soul. Sometimes we wonder about the law of karma. So the law of karma appears to be very cruel. But the purpose of the law of karma is rectification. It is not simply to punish you because, you know, God's angry with you. As Prabhupada said here in the purport, it's not that God is angry with you. God is concerned. So he gives you this karma to gradually teach you, you know, bonam, janmanamante, gyanavamam, prabhajate, to gradually teach you, hey, this is not a place for you. So, you know, after a few billion births, you sort of figure out it's miserable. It takes a long time. And so King Indrajunya, he finally figured that out, or Gajendra, who was King Indrajunya, finally figured that out by this last misery of being bitten by a crocodile. And then he is coming to the point of something called prapana, or we usually say sharanagati, which means surrender. So, what is surrender? I think this is a very important topic for us to understand. And I'm going to analyze in class what it means to surrender to Krishna. And of course, one of the methods of analysis is that given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your phone always goes off in class, Jivanath. It's just like, you have it timed exactly. So one of the methods is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sixth step or six aspects of the process of surrender. You know, it's very easy to say, I surrender to you. I mean, sometimes I get these disciples who say, I surrender to you, Gurudev. And they say, can you do this? No, Gurudev. So we have to see what surrender is. So we surrender to the Supreme. First of all, to surrender to the Lord, there's one requirement. It's faith. Faith, shada shabde visha sakahe sudrida nishtya. Faith that if we do what Krishna says, everything will be taken care of. We don't really have that faith anymore. Or we never had it. We think, yes, we'll serve Krishna, but just in case Krishna is not God, we'll put the rest of the demigods on our altar too. Just in case, you know, just, it's called if any of you ever engage in betting, it's called hedging your bets. Like if you go to the horse races. One time, when I was before I joined the movement, I went to the horse races. And so I saw people, they were betting on several horses. You understand horse races? You have horse races here? No, you have them in Australia, and there's a betting place here where you can bet on the Australian horse races. I saw it. Melbourne, yeah. I saw it. There's a store here that says, betting place for Australian races. So they bet on several horses in case, you know, I'm not going to name the horses, but, you know, Running Star and Big Feet, you know, whatever horse wins, so they'll win somehow or other. So you all think the same, not all of you, of course, think the same thing. I go to devotees' homes and there's all these demigods, and there's Krishna too, just in case. So why don't you have all 33 million of the demigods on your altar, just in case one of them happens to be God. So if we have faith that Krishna is God, then ekala ishra Krishna arasabda vritya. That's all we have to do is worship Krishna and his incarnations, of course, and his devotees. Very simple. Your altar becomes a very simple altar. You don't need so many steps on it. Some devotees have like 20 steps on their altar. Anyway, Krishna is devotee. You can have Hanuman, he's Krishna's devotee. That's fine. And even Lord Shiva, he's Krishna's devotee. But we worship them all as devotees. Otherwise, it's a vidipurvakam, as Krishna says in the Gita. So, first of all, the first quality for surrender, even before I start talking about Lord Chaitanya's six principles of surrender, is that faith. Krishna's God. He's there on the altar. I mean, how many of you think that Krishna's there on the altar, or believe that Krishna's there on the altar? Or it's just some ritual you come to, you know, to try to get blessings. So anyway, faith. Shraddha, Shabde, Vishas, Shakahe. So Dhrita Nishtha, Krishna Bhakti. So, in any case, then we get to Lord Chaitanya's surrender. Once you have that faith, what you do to show your surrender is number one, you accept everything favorable for serving Krishna. What does that mean? That means you find out from the spiritual master what is favorable. Because you may not know what is favorable. Just like when the devotees first started worshiping Lord Jagannath in San Francisco, they didn't know how to worship him, so they were offering their old clothes to Lord Jagannath. Something called blue jeans, you know what blue jeans are? Or, anyway. They had old clothes. So they thought, this is the best thing. You know, because Prabhupada said, offer the best thing to Lord Jagannath. So the best thing for them was blue jeans. What is Lord Jagannath going to do with blue jeans? Or even in Vrindavan one time, at this one temple, Bunky Bihari Temple, they offered to the deity sunglasses and a mobile phone. Because for us, you know, that's the best thing for me, right? If you want to give me a gift, give me a mobile phone, you know, the latest. So they were thinking, Bunky Bihari should have the latest iPhone. So in order to... That's true, we're not making up the story, there's pictures of it. So in order to understand what Krishna wants, you have to ask Krishna's representative. You know, what does Krishna want? What does Krishna like to eat? You know, what does Krishna like to wear? What instrument does Krishna play? He plays his flute. If it was up to us, we'd put a guitar on the altar. And have Krishna, you know, Krishna with a guitar. Sounds funny, but devotees have done that. Even when I was a new devotee, I had some Gaur-Nitai deities to worship. And I thought, you know, the best way to worship Gaur-Nitai is to give them a danda. So I made some little tree dandas for Gaur-Nitai and they were holding the danda. Completely unbonafide, because we worship Gaur-Nitai as householders. So basically I didn't know how to worship. So to accept everything favorable means Tadvidi pranipatena parifrashnena. Asking questions, you know, what does Krishna want me to do? And the next thing is rejecting everything unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. In other words, things you might have liked to do, like going to the cinema and watching Bollywood movies. Right? We all like that. Some of us like it. So, there's so many things. I mean, before I joined the movement, I like to go bowling. I like to go golfing. I like to go water skiing. You know what water skiing is? So many things I like, and I gave it all up because it's not favorable. Even one time, devotee was taking me. We were driving, this was in Serbia. We were driving, and I saw there was a place for hang gliding. Hang gliding means where you jump from a mountain and you have wings on it. You say, you understand what that is? Fun. So I asked the devotee, it was a disciple, surrender disciple, will you take me there? Can we do it? And he said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And then I was thinking, this is not pleasing to Krishna, so I had to reject it. Also, I was thinking, if I got hurt, how could I explain it to the devotees? That was another point I was thinking. You know, Guru Maharaj was dancing ecstatically and he broke his leg. So, in other words, so we reject things unfavorable. And the next points are that understand the Lord is always protecting one and maintaining one. Just like the other day we were speaking about Srivast Thakur, who told Lord Chaitanya that unless I get maintained, I'm going to drown myself in the Ganges. I'm not saying you should do that. No, we should all work to maintain ourselves. But understanding that Krishna is doing that, and that Krishna is protecting us. There's no need for fear. Just like there was one devotee, we tried to take him to Govardhan, and he was afraid. There are snakes here. And I said to him, but there are so many accidents on the road in Fiji. Aren't you scared of that? No. But the snakes. So, there's so much fear of different things. If Krishna wants to protect us, he'll protect us. If Krishna wants to kill us, he'll kill us. Whether we're snakes or with human beings. Human beings are far more dangerous than snakes. I'd rather embrace a snake. Isn't it? Much, much nicer, you know. One time I was in a zoo. You all know what zoos are? We have all the animals. So this was one place where they get the most dangerous animals. So one place there was a cobra. Another place there was a big bear. You know, big bear. They said, these are dangerous animals. And in the last cage, there was not a human being in the last cage, anyway. That's not allowed. In the last cage, there was a mirror. And it said, this is the most dangerous creature, and I was looking at myself. You understand? So that's... Anyway, so we understand Krishna's protecting us. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go through the jungles. Of course, he was definitely protected because he is Krishna. And also because he got the animals to dance and chant. So... the last two surrendering principles are actually a little harder. One is to be meek and humble. Now, what does that mean, be meek and humble? It doesn't mean that one just speaks softly. It means that one acts in a way according to the Lord's desire, even if it's not your desire. and also be ready to offer our respects to others. Amanina Manadena. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. Trinadapi Sunichena. Kurariva Sahishna Manina Manadena Kirtiniya Sudhavri. Offer respects to others. Don't think that you're better than everybody else. There's a problem. The problem is when we get a position, even in the Krishna consciousness movement, we think we're better than the other devotees. Just like I'm a sannyasi, so I'm thinking, oh, I'm a Maharaj. Maha means big. Raj means passion. Did you know that? That word, Maharaj, was only used for kings up to about 100 years ago. Then the sannyasis, they started using that word. Big passionate one. Maharaj. Better Goswami. Goswami means controller of the senses. So Maharaj. I mean, you hear about all these kings. European kings, Maharaj, Henry VIII, like that. So meek and humble is very hard to understand that you're a servant of everyone else. And the higher position you get, the more you're a servant. Servant leader is called. So that's very important, meek and humble. And finally, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. That's the final symptom of Sharanagati. And then there's another list I wanted to recite, and I was thinking about the Sharanagati or surrender yesterday, because basically the reason we want to become surrendered is to achieve prema, right? Why do we want to achieve prema? Does anyone know? No one has any ideas. What? I know, that's description of prema, but why do you want to get it? What's in it for you? It's called a whiffim. What's in it for me? Nobody knows. So if you don't know the reason, the motivation to get prema, then you're not going to want it. So the motivation to get prema is to actually give Krishna love or to please Krishna. And another motivation, of course, is to be happy because that's your constitutional position. Jivera Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. I mean, to be, that's prema. Unalloyed love. Yayatma Supersedite. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Yadhosaje. That's the only thing that will satisfy you. Everything else you do satisfies you for a few minutes. Like with me, every time I get a new electronic gadget, I become ecstatic. For about a half an hour. And then, of course, I go to the GBC meeting and show it off to everybody. It gives me a little bit more pleasure. In the old days, before these electronic, you know, the phones and then, you know, smartphones and stupid phones, before all those things, the only things that sannyasis could show off were their watches. So someone would go in and say, oh, here's my Rolex. You know what a Rolex is? And I just had a Casio or a Seiko. So I would hide my arms behind my back so they wouldn't see. So these things, in other words, these things just give us flickering pleasure. In the beginning, there's some in the mode of passion. It's a little nectar, and then it's misery. So we are interested in kevalananda kanda, unending bliss. Doesn't everybody here want to experience so much happiness that you're rolling on the ground, shaking in ecstasy, the hairs, if there are any left on your head, are standing on end? You know, Sika standing on end. For the women, it would be kind of funny, you know, they're... You'd probably look like Serpanaka, the hairs were standing on end. So, I mean, that's what we want. We want to be happy, isn't it? That's a constitutional nature, to be happy, kevalananda kanda. So, That's the reason why we want prema. And ultimately, when you have prema, you're simply wanting Krishna to be happy, and Krishna's happiness is your happiness. That's our nature. Whatever pleases Krishna. So, to achieve that, there's several steps required. I'm going to go over them rather quickly because we don't have a lot of time for class. One is, we have to desire it. That's the first step. I already covered that. To desire it means you have to have a motivation. Why? And I already covered that, remember? So ask yourself, why do I want to be a pure devotee? Or maybe you don't. Why do I want to be a mixed devotee? Why do I want to be a demon? Everything has based on motivation. Or like you, those of you, we have some devotees here who are going to school to become lawyers. Why do I want to become a lawyer? Usually, money, money, money. And then money, 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 so I can do whatever I want. And if they're devotees, so I can serve Krishna, right? So everything has to be based. If you're not motivated, then, look, we were talking about this other day about chanting. If you don't have a sankalpa when you're chanting, if you don't have an in it, remember what I said the other day? If you don't have an intention, you will not be attentive. Does everyone understand that point? You can remember that, that's a slogan. Without intention, there's inattention. It sounds like the same word. Intention means a motivation. There's inattention. All right, so that's the first thing. And then the second step, this is actually from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which I love. This is one of the books I love the most. The second step is, you therefore, because you have this intention, then you have to work to overcome obstacles. Obstacles means, for Krishna consciousness, anarthas, what? Kama, krodha, mada, matsara, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. Like if I feel myself getting envious, like who am I envious of here? Probably no one here. But anyway, let's say I'm in the GBC meeting and I'm envious of someone who leads a better kirtan than me. Then I'll understand, this is bad for my spiritual life. So how do I overcome envy? I serve them. Serve the person I'm envious of. That's a method. So overcoming obstacles. The next one is actually a lot easier. We sing and we talk about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Just like all of you have heard of this one book called Krishna Book. Anyone's heard of it? No? Okay. It's a book Prabhupada wrote. There's a summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It deals with Krishna's pastimes. We used to read it every night. It's interesting how little you all know about Krishna's pastimes. Last night I was speaking, and some devotee asked me, why are so many people in different races in this world? And I said, there's variety. You know, it's nice to have variety, isn't it? I mean, if everybody was the same color and looked exactly the same, it would be horrible. Isn't it? It'd be a boring place. So I said, in the spiritual world, this is the point I was getting to, there's devotees with different colors. You have blue Krishna. And then I asked the devotees, what color is Lord Ram? And nobody knew. I said, you're supposed to be Ram Bhaktas here. He's green. And everyone said, what? He's green? Never heard about that before. And then I said, look at the pictures in the back of the temple room. Do you ever look at those pictures? He's green, right? Like Darbha grass is described in the Bhagavatam. So we should hear these pastimes so at least we know what color Krishna is. You know, I probably would say, one time he was in India and he said, he said to people, because they didn't study the Vedic literatures, he said, you were asking the question, and this is really funny, who is Sita's wife? Think about that for a second. I mean, Sita's obviously a lady. You know, huh? That's how little, you know, so we should hear about Krishna's pastimes. And then the next step to surrender is to associate with those who have prema bhakti. You have Prabhupada and Prabhupada's books, and other devotees of the movement who are immersed in Krishna prema. Next one is, even if you have prema, conceal it. In other words, don't go around saying to everybody, I have Krishna prema, I love Krishna. All of you conditioned souls are so unfortunate compared to me. I have achieved perfection. No, one who has achieved perfection, they act the most humble. They act like their conditioned soul. So we conceal it, as Prabhupada did. Except, you know, a few times it came out when Prabhupada exhibited ecstasy, and then Prabhupada basically said, I apologize for it. I don't do this very often. Next one is residing in holy places. Make your home a holy place. Obviously, you all can't live in the temple. If you did, we'd have no problem with the deity worship. But obviously, that's not going to happen. So you make your home a temple. That's actually one of the important principles listed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Making your home a temple means you don't do any nonsense in your home. It also means when you're the devotees who live in the temple, don't do any nonsense in the temple. Don't argue in front of the deities. Sometimes we hear this, right? You're not on that platform like Vamsi Das Babaji. We were talking about Vamsi Das Babaji. He used to argue with the deities, right? Or Raghunandana, he took a stick to the deities and said, now it's time to eat. Don't do it. In front of the deities, everything should be Krishna conscious. Or when you go in your own room, you can be in Maya. But in front of the... no, not really. In front of the deities, be Krishna conscious. So the next one is, we're almost finished, utter humility, which we talked about before, which Gajendra is mentioning here. You know, I'm just an animal. Of course he is an animal. But he's not saying, you know, I was previously the king in Indradunya. Just be very humble. Next one is to experience the symptoms of ecstasy. And the final final methodology of achieving prema or surrendering is to understand that pure devotional service is the greatest ecstasy and the greatest suffering. That may discourage you all from Krishna consciousness. What is the greatest suffering? Because when you're separated from Krishna and you're feeling so intensely that separation, it's so much suffering, but it's also the greatest ecstasy. So in other words, to achieve this surrender, one has to worship Krishna in the mood of Vipralamba. We chant. Not that I've achieved Krishna. Like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were going around Vrindavan chanting, Hey Radhe, Braja Te Vike, Hey Nanda Shuno Kuta. It doesn't say that they saw Krishna, it says that they were saying, Krishna, Radharani, where are you? So in other words, that mood of intense suffering, intense longing for Krishna, is the greatest ecstasy. So anyway, so this is what it means by surrender. I hope I haven't discouraged any of you from the process of Krishna consciousness, but if you do this, you'll be happy. You will never be unhappy. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, so any questions or comments? Yeah. The seventh one of surrender was utter humility. We mentioned that even before the whole discussion in the context of talking about Gajendra, being humble. I'm only an animal. I mean, he was quite an animal. Not an ordinary animal. Actually, in the heavenly planets, you have animals who talk, and it's nice. It's a nice place. Birds and all sorts of animals who talk. I mean, even in Lord's pastimes, you have Hanuman, who is Kim Purusha. It wasn't quite a monkey. He was Kim Purusha, and he was the greatest scholar. So, anyway, so that's utter humility. Eighth is to experience the symptoms of bhava, to hanker for them. Just like Narottama Das Thakur, he says, Goranga balite habi pulaka sharir. When will that day be mine when I feel the hair standing on my body when I chant Goranga? Now we chant, we don't feel any ecstasy because our hearts are steel framed and we've committed offenses against devotees. The reason you're not experiencing ecstasy is you have committed offenses against some Vaishnava. Even you have that story of Sachi Mata, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, and the devotees were all getting Krishna Prem, and they asked Lord Chaitanya, are you going to give Krishna Prem to Sachi Mata? And he said, no. She's your mother. And the devotees said, why? And they said, because she's committed an offense. Lord Chaitanya said, because she's committed an offense against the Dvaitacharya. Because Sachi Mata was angry. It's understandable. Why? Because her son, Viswarup, the first son, took sannyas because he is associated with the Dvaitacharya. And she got really angry with the Dvaitacharya. She said, you should not be called a Dvaita, you should be called Dvaita. Which basically means two-faced. You understand? In that particular context, Advaita means one, Dvaita means two. So in other words, you're saying one thing to me, you're saying another thing to other, you're cheater. In other words, cheater. So because she accused the Dvaita, in a spirit of ecstasy, she accused the Dvaita Acharya of being devious. She could not get pure love of God. And of course, the Dvaita Acharya felt real bad about that. And Sachi Mata eventually touched the feet of a Dvaitacharya and then she got pure love of God. So that's really what's interfering with us from experiencing ecstasy. If we serve the Vaishnavas instead of criticize, it's so easy to criticize them. I mean, I was just dealing with many emails yesterday, maybe about 20 emails, not coming from Fiji, believe me, no problem. Coming from another part of the world, which is in Southern Europe, it's called the Balkan area, where devotees are just criticizing each other. And I just said to them, basically, if you keep doing this, I'm not coming there. You know, it's just part of their nature. And that way they'll just become crazy. Actually, another point is you criticize the Vaishnava, in addition to not getting a taste, you become crazy. You lose everything. You may get leprosy. So please don't do that. Please serve all the Vaishnavas. You get an opportunity. Just like we were mentioning today, you can get the opportunity to serve Vasudeva Prabhu. Not that everybody should go at once, but devotees should take that opportunity. You'll make so much advancement by serving an advanced Vaishnava. It's unbelievable. I mean, I made advancement, you know, if I have any advancement, there was this girl who was passing away in Mayapur, not this year, last year. And I was reading for her every day from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just a simple, humble devotee who went back to Godhead, unlike me. So she went back to Godhead. I'm sure she went back to Godhead. And just by doing that service, it was more ecstatic than going to the GBC meeting. And that's pretty good, because usually there's so many symptoms of ecstasy in going to the GBC meeting, you know, rolling to the ground, tears coming from, definitely tears come from the eyes. That definitely happens. Fainting also happens. That's called falling asleep. We have some GBC members who sleep during the whole meeting. So, anyway, so if that was, joking aside, that was nice. You serve a simple Vaishnava. You're not better than anyone else. Try to be humble. Confirmed by the demigods, the electronic demigods. Okay. So I think we have to end now. because we have a big program today, we have Sunday feast. Anyway, so many things are happening today. And thank you very much. Please surrender to Krishna. All glories to His divine grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai.